world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Hey, I'm looking at something. Where the heck does time go? Can anybody explain that? That'd be a whole show. Is time really a thing? Now, I've said to people, this off the top of my head, and Lord, just let the words of our meditation and our heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord. We live in a time-space continuum, right? A time-space continuum. In other words, we are in something called time. Is there time outside of time? Is there time outside, whether it would be our solar system? What makes a day come and sun? See, even though the sun comes up at a different time, a day is a day. I mean, it may come up at 7 a.m. this morning and 7:03 tomorrow, but it doesn't matter because there's no time outside of time. am I making sense? And I was having a conversation. It was kind of, yes, I love my wife. I was with my wife. And where'd your life go? Where'd your life go? Pretty fascinating, isn't it? Got a lot of stuff I want to do here today, but before I do this, I just want to show you guys something, okay? I just did a Google search. Spencer, it's the second thing. It's not even numbered. I Googled this today. I don't know if you guys know this. I got thrown off YouTube. I'm not on YouTube anymore. They threw me off. I don't have any idea. No idea why they did. But I Googled me today on YouTube. I don't want to make it about me, but it's Coach Dave Live. Interracial marriage is weak in America. Multiculturalism is spiritual AIDS. How many years? Eight years ago. And look at all these. You want to have something, man. Look at all these videos. I'll just stroll down there. The spirit is strong. That's just when I got started. Go there for 2018. They don't even want me around anymore. Look at this. All this stuff. Obama is gay. When was that one? 13 years ago. I've been doing this a while, boys and girls. I've been doing it a while. Look, what's it? Look at this. Walking in Authority with Casper McCloud's band. And me opening statements in my 2010 primary when I ran for Congress. Oh, they hated me. Then a new one pops up in there. What happened to the church? My goodness. There's a walk down memories lane. I've been doing it a while. And I don't have all the answers, but I'm not afraid to bring anything to the table. I just appreciate those of you out there kind of supported us for since I walked away from teaching and coaching in 2000. That is 26 years, isn't it, Betty? 26 years. I don't know when Mike Heath, Jared's dad's the one who suggested I start a podcast. I didn't even know what the internet was, nothing. And he helped me get started in my closet in my old house up at 50 Woody Knoll. Did that first podcast. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Started. And I don't know why we're not worldwide. I think this is one of the edgiest Christian shows there are, but for some reason, nobody's given us the bump that we need. That's okay. I'm not complaining about it. But you got to admit, when you come here, it's edgy stuff, isn't it? It ain't Mr. Happy Clap Your Hand Christianity, which is what so much of Christian media is, right? And look, I don't know it all, but I am in a relentless pursuit of the truth. I want you to know that when I bring stuff to you here, I've done some research on it. I got some, again, pushback's not the right word. People said, Coach, your theme is, who told you that and why do you believe him? That's the theme of your coach, of your show. Yeah. I said, well, coach, how do we know that what you showed us yesterday, the hierarchy of demons, is real? So I said, I don't know. But I searched the internet, and this is the stuff I came up with. Some of these guys have been following a while. I'll put my hat back right. And when we get into the name of the demons and the hierarchy, which we got into yesterday, I got more, man. 9 demon ranks of hell. We did that yesterday. Hierarchy of demons. Folks, the average, we don't even know. We don't, for us to even say, is that true? There's so much stuff we don't even know. Our Christianity has been so programmed and watered down. We don't even talk about the forces of darkness, that the kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed. Time out a minute. Pull that up there, Spencer, Psalm 2. Just pull that up there. And I want all of you, here's your assignment. I want you to go to your pastor on church on Sunday and ask him this. Scroll down, Spencer. Right there, that's good. The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. Saying, let's break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. Hey, go ask your pastor, what's that mean? Hey, Ray, what's that mean? You go to church, they tell you what that means? The heathen are raging and people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. What? Is Donald Trump really in control? Is he really? Or are there principalities and powers above him? Do we know? Do you even discuss it in your church? No. And why people are destroyed? Why? Lack of knowledge. And I love the idea that trust but verify, as Ronald Reagan said, that I bring new stuff to the table and you're somewhat suspicious. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. But I don't know if you understand this or not. I've almost given my life to doing this stuff. I consume this stuff almost 24/7 while I sleep. You get what I'm saying, right? Because I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And we get off into so many different, we are so shallow in our Christianity. And I think it ought to be edgy. And one of the things that is so hindering to us, I believe, the whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let me stop right there a minute. I'm just going to pick on somebody. I'm looking at the screen over here. Hey, Ray, what would it look like if we had a manifestation of the sons of God? What would it look like? Because the whole creation
would look like the 12 apostles turning the world back upside down.
And who would be the whole creation groaning? Waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Seems to me, somebody help me on that? What would that look like if God's people actually began to show up? How about this one? Bear with me a second. My phone's buzzing here. Hang on a second. How about this one? Just stupid old JR. JR, I'm not saying you're stupid. Just little old JR gets in his heart. Family screwed up. It's the family. He blows that whistle for how long? It's the family. Pull up Faith and Family, Florida. Did you guys see this? Praise the Lord. June is officially Faith and Family Month in Florida. I'm just going to sit there a minute. Does anybody have the idea where that came from? Hey, Ray, where'd that come from?
One of our men, JR, right?
He lit a fire, didn't he? Lit a spark. And now they changed the name of it and all that stuff, but it is officially Faith and Family Month in Florida. Now, JR wanted to call it what? Natural family. That's a bridge too far for some of these people to go. They can hardly go there. But at least they're acknowledging faith, not gay pride month, faith and family month in Florida. Now, can somebody out there explain to me why the American church could not make that universal in America? Anybody explain why? Oh, I know why. Because whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of sons of God, waiting for God's people to stand. George McCloy can't even get him to put a sign in the churchyard. Right, George? He gets these natural family months. He goes to churches and they won't even put it in their yard. I don't know how I got here. This is where I'm heading. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the end of your life, the only thing that's ever going to matter is what you do for the Lord. That's all ever, it's really ever is going to matter. And we know that it's not by works. We know that. But works is evidence of faith. And they've lied to it. The cowards have lied to us. The cowardly leaders have lied to us and said, we don't get involved in politics because they didn't want to take the heat. They didn't want to take the heat. They're afraid there may be some people in their church who disagreed. They don't want any division in their church. So they remain silent and let babies be murdered and kids get their dicks cut off and all that stuff being taught. So Betty, give me a thumbs up just so you guys are tracking me, right? See, this is what motivates me every day to come in here. We have to continue to sing this song. The whole creation is waiting for us to show up. Waiting for us to show up. All right, I'll get. Congratulations, JR. Faith and Family Month in Florida. Wow. Take a deep breath. We have a psalm to read today. It's a very short one. Pull that up, Spence, if you will. Thanks, Craig, for being on top of it. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Time out. How does a land make a joyful noise? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 78, real quick, Spence. Just a stream of consciousness. Bear with me here. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I'm going to open my mouth in a parable, and I'm going to utter dark sayings of old, which we have known, and our fathers have told us. And we're not going to hide him from our children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Why? Because he established a testimony in Jacob, pointed out a law in Israel, which he commanded that we, the daddies, scroll down, that we would make it known to our children. That's our responsibility, church, to make the things of God known to our children. If you could put your child in the greatest university in America, and if you don't make the things of God known to your children, we're failures. The generation to come would know him. Even the children which would be born, they'd raise up and they'd declare to their children. Tag team handoff, generational Christianity. They came into our school and said, you're not allowed to pray in school. Not allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. The secularization. How about this one? The Satanification of America. Right? Generation to come, I know him. Are you passing it to your children? Even the children which were born, who should arise and declare it to their children. I saw this lived out just yesterday because we have grandchildren around us. And I watched my daughter parent her child. I thought, daggone. She got it. Where'd she get it? from her mom. You with me? She got it from her mom. I got it from my dad. I ain't telling you no more, boy. I ain't telling you no more. We've lost all that, see? But they might put their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment and not be like their daddies. A stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not the heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, that'd be us. The children, the Christians of America, being armed and carrying bows, did not show up to fight. They didn't keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his laws. They forgot his works and his wonders he'd showed them. He did a lot of great stuff aside of the fathers in the land of Egypt, Second World War, First World War, things that he did, the way they built America. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through it. He made the water stand. See, they were relaying it to their children. Tracking with me here? Are we doing that? Pastors tell you, send you, put your kids in public school because they got good football teams, good baseball teams, and they teach kids lies. And the church doesn't care because they lied to us and told us it was, Betty, is this boring? I keep seeing Betty because she's right there. I see her friend. Hey, Pete Trombley, is this boring? Jared, is this boring? Gino, is this boring? Because this is the heart of what we're dealing with here. This right here is the heart of it. And Christians, for the most part, will not get involved. Why? Because our leadership tells, said, Michelle, I hear you. Honey, you say the same thing over and over. Damn it, I know. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of God's people to show up, and we won't do it. Not really. Well, some do, but not really. No. Matthew 5, please, real quick. Matthew 5. I got to hammer this in because got a lot of slow learners out there. Huh? Scroll down about 13. Keep on going down. Keep on. You're the salt of the earth. The salt has lost its savor. Wherewith it be salty. It's henceforth good for nothing. Cast out and be trodden under for men. Go back up. Go back up to about 8. Hey, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You being persecuted for righteousness' sake? If you are, you're in the kingdom. And by the way, blessed are you when men revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely. For his sake. In other words, you don't argue over whether the Browns and the Bengals, who's the best. That's not the arguments we're supposed to have. All manner of evil. So you're not going to teach. Hey, listen, you're not teaching that to my kids. Sorry, you ain't teaching to my kids. You're not going to take my tax dollars, and you're not going to teach it to my neighbor's kids either. I'm not going. Okay, I'm going to try to get off of this, but this is the heart of what I do. Of what we do. When's the last time that you got spit on or somebody said something about you and it says that you're blessed? We want the applause of men. No. Blessed are you and men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Got to tell the truth. For my sake. You understand? You're his witness. You're his ambassador. You're his emissary. All manner of evil falsely for his sake. Are you defending him everywhere you go? For his sake? He said, be better for you to put a millstone around your neck, throw yourself deep in parts of the ocean than to do what we do to little children. Okay, I'm going to try to move on. Thanks, Judah. Judah says that deserves a boom. All right, so let me stop a minute. I got some great stuff to give you today. Again, here's what I did yesterday. I want you guys to figure out how I did this. Show everybody how to do this, okay? Here's what I did yesterday. I typed into my computer. Spencer's going to do it for us right here, okay? What are the how did I say it? What are the principalities of hell? That's what I typed in. I'm showing you how to do this. What are the principalities of hell? Boom. And look at all the stuff that pops up. Now, hang with me. How do you know which one's real? How do I know which one's real? Well, this right here's a good one. Seven princes of hell. What's that? We talked about that. Lucifer's pride, mammon, greed. Asmodeus is lust. Leviathan's envy. Beelzebub's gluttony. Satan is wrath. Belphegor is sloth. Who told you that, Willis? Trust but verify. I don't know. Is that legit? Huh? You're going down here. Keep on going down. And you get another one. Seven principles. Stop there. Pull that up. Seven principles of hell. What do they say? What are the seven principles of hell? There it is. So I try to do research, and I just try to bring it to you. And I don't know. What say you? You know the seven principalities of hell? How about classification of demons? Testament of Solomon. Demons are context of classic mythology. This is secular, by the way. It's secular. This is how I do my research. Oh, wait, ho, ho! Lucifer's pride, Beelzebub's envy, Satan's wrath, Abaddon's sloth, Mammon's greed. I don't know the reference. I don't know who came up with it, but there they are. There they are. Click back one. How many people you go to church with think know this? Who are seven? I don't know this. Who are the seven princes of hell? I don't know. Click on it. Somebody found this somewhere because they list the same people. Belial, Satan, Beelzebub, Asmodeus, Leviathan, Mammon. I keep over and over and over. I don't know how to trust but verify this. Well, we have experts in it. All right, going back. All right. Hang on. Let me try to get back in order here. I want you guys to see this. This is where I got kind of started in this stuff. Spencer, down at the bottom. Doc Marquis, the seven principalities of hell. Pulled up that YouTube. I've got this Doc Marquis. I've had him on the show before. He's passed away. This guy's amazing. You want to spend some time scratching your head. Go to Doc Marquis's website and all the presentations he makes on the dark side. What it's all about. Just scroll down there a minute, Spence. Occult holidays, mysticism, America's occult holidays. Huh? What? Hey, Christmas is a cult. Easter is a cult. Did you know that? Those are occult holidays. Doc's gone. He was kind of a strange guy. Frontman for the Illuminati. An Illuminati's plan for 2012 and beyond. Illuminati's fulfilling biblical prophecy. Illuminati's plan for 2012. Remember, he's dead, right? He's dead. This is all old stuff online. Magic, mysticism, masonry. Wow. The Illuminati Protocols of Zion, the plot against Israel trailer. Final Rapture, Doc Marquis on Christmas. It's fascinating. Put it in the chat. Check it out yourself. So I'm really laboring this too much. Here's what I would say to you folks. We don't know, do we? We don't know. We don't know. But I know this. If I could walk them up to 950% of the people in the church and ask them if they could give me seven principalities of hell, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So what's the old line? Who told you that? Why do you believe them? By the way, click. I want to introduce you to Doc Marquis. Go watch his stuff. It's a God Thing Productions. Click on that for me. It's the last one. No, it's the very last one on the, I sent you. It's a God Thing Productions. That's Doc Monkey. Passed away on November 20th, 2018. I had him on my show. I could go dig that out in that thing. Fascinating stuff. Your pastor would probably tell you to avoid it. But it's fascinating stuff. Hey, I'm going to shut up, man. Somebody want to come in? I got more. Yeah, I don't need you to come in, but let me see what I got. Do I have any hands up in the way? The bunny? Anybody want to say anything? Because
keep on going, Coach.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Jeff. See, sometimes I don't know if you're bored. I don't know. I want this to be educational. Hey, friends, you're going to be the wisest person in the room everywhere you go. And the average person you're going to sit and talk to, they don't have any idea what you're talking about. This kind of stuff's important for us to understand. Why are our children under attack? Why are the principalities and powers in control of everything on earth? They're in control of our education system. They're in control of the news. Did you see what Trump did to that reporter the other day? Stepped on her microphone. Said everything you tell us is lies. Stepped on her. And you know what the world says? Oh, he's not very what? Not very presidential. I kind of like it myself. Kind of like it. Why? Because the media is one of the principalities of hell. They lie to us. P.S. Come on in.
Hey, Dave, who's gone to hell and come back and reported on all this?
Well, Jesus did. he descended into hell. Can you tell us who has?
No, I'm asking you because you say trust but verify.
Yeah. I haven't been to heaven either.
So this could be like Harry Potter type stuff, right? Right? Someone wrote it up. We don't know.
That's what they say about the Bible, isn't it, though? You know what they say about the Bible? We don't know. Somebody just wrote it up. By the way,
there's witnesses for that.
There's witnesses for this. See, folks, it's by faith. It's by faith. That's the amazing thing about Christianity. You ain't never going to find no proof. Sorry, dude. Huh? No? You going to believe? You going to tell me there's proof of the resurrection? Well, I'll say, well, yeah, Coach, there were eyewitnesses. Well, yeah, but who told you that? Why do you believe them? Why would you believe those eyewitnesses, right? So at some point, yeah, let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. And I think if you're honest, he would say, you know what? Coach has said from the beginning, he didn't really know, but here's what it says. Trust but verify. And so you can take everything I say right here and you can flush it down the toilet. I couldn't, I don't care. Or you can do your own research.
Hey, there is physical proof about the Bible.
There's all kinds of physical proof about it. All kinds of it, right?
The dogwood tree.
What do you mean?
It's well documented that the dogwood tree was bigger than the oaks that we have here in the South. And then everybody woke up one morning and it had completely changed.
Hmm. Think about this, Mike. Think about the truth of the Bible we used to teach to our children in school. And in 19, get my brain to work here. 67, I think it was. They decided that there was a 63. There was a separation between the church and the state, and children have been taught paganism ever since then. Would anybody disagree with that? They've been taught paganism as the national religion. And then we're shocked that people don't believe the Bible. Right? What do you mean, Jude? Kissinger orchestrated it. Henry Kissinger certainly wasn't a Christian, was he, Jared? I don't think anybody think Henry Kissinger was a Christian. I don't know. Wasn't he in charge of a lot of it? Yeah, he was. Come on, Lorianne. Come on in.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Scripture states all over the place the hierarchy, and it's there.
Yeah.
And like you said, you have to research it. I know for a fact this stuff is real.
It's all by faith anyway.
And I've seen it up close and I've seen it personal. You can look up John Ramirez. No, nobody gives him a lot of platforms, And he was literally a high, he was on earth, he was a high ranking Satanist.
Yep.
And it, you know, and if you choose not to see the evil that's surrounding you, that's got a mouthpiece from Satan, all Satan is doing. If you look at the hierarchy of heaven and angels in heaven, you're going to see Satan mirroring it here on earth, because he's not, he can't create anything because he can't. And he was kicked out of heaven because he lied, he gossiped, he slandered, and he backbited God, his creator. And all these, and this is how easy lies are believed, and gossip and slander runs rampant, right? Right. All those angels were kicked out of heaven because they were listening to what Satan was saying.
Yep.
Instead of listening to the truth and seeing it. And I appreciate you bringing this up, because nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to learn about it. And you can't get set free unless you know who your enemy is. If it's, you know, coach, if you didn't study the films from your other team, right, and how they were playing and how they were maneuvering, could you bet, could you not, you couldn't equip the team that you have in that film room or in the huddle or that's on your team. And I'm talking from everybody from the ball boy all the way to the quarterback and your trainers and everything. If you didn't study this other team, it would be useless.
Or you know, what's even worse than that, Lorraine, I appreciate it. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the average person could not even tell you what the weapons of our warfare are. Huh? I'm just telling you. Help me out, Dale. Help me out, Dale.
Well, Coach, it's you know, I don't necessarily know all the rankings and all this, but what I do know is that. As a pastor, as a father, we have read through our Bible, and you know we do. We read through it every year. All of my family does, and I study, and I've encountered some of this stuff. And I can tell you this, the main thing that Jesus ever talked about was heaven, the radical love, the repentance. But the second greatest topic that he always paralleled, especially in his parallels, was this place called hell. And so when trust and verify, to me, all I got to do is read the scriptures. The scriptures are very clear. Jesus talked about it, and Isaiah talked about Satan falling. It talks about the one third of angels. Revelation talks about this place of hell. Jesus talks about hell is not divided against itself, that it is a kingdom. So guess what? Where do I read this, Coach? I didn't read it on the internet. I read it in my Bible. So there's my verification. Is that these places? So some of this stuff, I get intrigued because I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I'm, you know, I get it. But I'm, when I'm questioned, trust and verify, I'm like, my verification is, hell is an actual place. It's a damnation. It's a lake of fire. It is these places. And guess what? I've read them in my Bible.
You read them in your Bible, Spencer. I'm gonna. I'm sending you something right now, Spence. I'm going to send it to Jared's email. This is one of the most powerful things I've ever, from a scriptural standpoint, I've ever seen. Hey, folks, of course we have to trust but verify. How do we know? How do we know? But I want you to watch this. This is.
So, Coach, as you're getting ready to say, let me put it this way. When I go to, I can go to a Christian bookstore, I can read good Christian books from different authors of their perspectives, right? Yep. This is the same thing. When you begin to talk about hell, these are just other topics, subtopics from that we might not have understanding because we didn't do our due diligence on studying. But I'm telling you, I have read incredible books and studies from people who have this aspect when they read Matthew Henry's commentary, right? Yep. When you read this, so these things, when we begin to touch this, most people don't want to touch it. But the fact of the matter is, these are secondary good help studies.
And Dale, unfortunately, we love to, because we won't engage the enemy. I'm talking generally now. Because we won't engage the enemy, we engage our fellow Christians on theology. whatever. But because we won't go take on the enemy, we want to argue on when the rapture is, and how many years of tribulation, and we want all this meaningless stuff.
Go to the abortion clinic or go to a pride parade. You'll see hell manifested right before you.
Quit arguing with your Lutheran brothers or your Episcopal brothers. Stop it already. Now this is really, really good. I've seen this before. This is the simplicity of the gospel. It's 3 minutes long. It's Alistair Begg that we're going to listen to. I think it's Alistair Begg. Go ahead.
For real, I think might be the greatest 3 minutes of preaching that has ever occurred that I've seen.
Wow.
From a dude named Alistair Begg. You're going to hear it in a second. He's Scottish. Makes him sound real awesome. Sounds like Braveheart's preaching the gospel to you. It's real great.
So that to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You'd never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. Then go get the supervisor in. So, wait, just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? Guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come.
The man on the middle cross said, I could come.
Wow.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God.
Boom, huh? Boom. The man on the middle cross said I could come. All the arguing and stuff that we do, the man on the middle cross, that guy right there said I could come. Neil, come on in.
Our pastor played that for us on Sunday, and the whole thing didn't get played here, but at the end, Alistair says, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves daily, every day. And boy, I'll tell you, that hit home. Instead of running around in circles and worrying about peripheral stuff, yeah. I need to focus on the gospel daily, every day, all day.
Amen. It's so simple, man. And we're so complicated. You know why we complicate? I think why we, it's like, I've used this illustration before. There were five of us in our home when we grew up. And my mom hated rainy days. Four of us were brothers, four in a row, Joe, Dan, Dave, Bill. My mom hated rainy days because she couldn't open up the gate and let us go out and terrorize the neighborhood. We had to stay home and terrorize each other. It drove her nuts. Much of Christianity has become that. We stay inside our huddles and argue with each other. When we're supposed to go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Not argue over stuff we argue over. Somebody come on in here. Who's anybody got their hand up? I can't see what's going on here. I'm waiting.
Keep going, Coach.
Okay, I'll keep going. I got more here then. All right. I'm looking at my notes here, right? Pull up, hang on, Johnny, I'll get you a second. Pull up Doc Marquis's Seven Principalities of Hell. I watched this 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Down at the bottom there, it's been the second one at the bottom. Look, hey, folks, look at the stuff you Google. Look at this. Seven Principalities of Hell, Archdukes of Hell, Seven Princes of Hell. Meet the Seven Demon Princes. Seven Principalities of Hell, Demonology, Mythology. Put that in the chat. You want to do some research. Say, Coach, how do you know? Who told you that? I don't know. But all I can tell you this is all I have to do is look around and I can say somebody's influenced somebody. The demonic activity. Now look, I'm not talking about voodoo and all that. The way people live their lives is demonic. It's demonic. And those of us who go to church, excuse me, to know better, we don't do anything about it. We let them continue to teach, as JR would say, that life has no meaning. No such thing as a male and female. Right? Feels good to do it. They teach the principles of hell. And we're supposed to oppose it. It's out there, it's crazy. Somebody come on in here. Come on in here. Man, I got hands up there. Dave Allison, you jumped in there first. Go ahead. Then Johnny.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. It's good stuff. And
it is.
Yeah. It's interesting. And if you look at the event venue that you have there next to you, the Lost Lands thing.
Yep.
They have more than one. I didn't realize it, but they have more than one event there.
Yes, sir.
They have, and I looked at some of the documentation online of the events that they have there, and some of the people don't look much different than those graphics you just pulled up. And
isn't that the truth, brother? Isn't that the truth? Earrings, nose rings, eye rings, breast rings. It's crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And you know, Coach, when I look at those folks, I don't get afraid. I really grieve in my heart. That's really what I see there. I see, man, a lost world, and how far they've gone, you know, in that being adopted into that life of sin and manifesting it openly. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, Christians go around; they've got hidden sin, and it's just as bad in the Lord's eyes. I say, right?
You
know. But at the same time, I see the way this stuff is being manifested openly and celebrated. It's amazing. The other thing, too, is, Coach, and I don't want to – the one thing you mentioned at the beginning of the show was Florida, faith and family.
Yep.
Coach, that is really nothing more than a different word for Pride Month. It really is. Stop and think about it. It means the same thing. I'm prideful that I'm a gay family. I'm prideful that I don't have any faith. I'm prideful that I don't have, you know what I mean? So that really means nothing to anybody. It's no different than if the wine next month declared July is Autobahn month in Ohio. What would that change? What would that change in Ohio?
Nothing.
Okay. Thanks for letting me share.
Amen. Amen. Except, my argument would be it does begin to impact public policy. See, we have to push back against the the godless society, the idea that there is no God, that everything is secular. We have to begin to push back against that. That'd be my only response. Johnny.
Yeah, I just say, you know what, we're not there yet. None of us are. Until we get there, we're not really going to know. And I like that video that we watched because the guy's like, I don't know. Uh-huh. I mean, do we truly, none of us really know, but Neil's right. You refer to the gospel every day. That's the closest we're going to get to knowing and understanding and the instruction that that manual is, right, is his word. He tells us what to do, but until we get there, we're not really going to know. I mean, we know in our hearts, we know what Christ tells us, but we're not there yet. That's what I think. But
we're not there yet.
What do I know?
Well, that's why, again, 42,000 different denominations, and all of them arguing over minutia. Most of them minutia. How you baptize, speaking in tongues, laying on of hands, Sabbath. I mean, it's see, the people who are involved, with, they don't think it's minutia. They think it's important. They do. But it causes division. And isn't it amazing, one thing you have to say? The people on the left, the God-hating left, they hate Christians, but they love everybody that's anti-Christian. Have you noticed that? They don't criticize each other. It's crazy. James.
Yeah, good message, brother. It's a web that we weave as believers in Messiah. I mean, if you would look at this as a football game or a WWE, in this corner is the world defeated champion. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. He's already been stripped of all power. Yeah. I've given you the authority. I've given you the power. I'm with you doing it, but yet you let him defeat you.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? This is what we find ourselves as a body of. When the first church came out of Acts, or I would say from Acts 15, when Paul took it to Rome and throughout other most parts of the world, when they were taking the Daves and the people in the, and you would call the huddled men and putting them on poles and burning their bodies for lampposts, the church grew. It grew exponentially. It just grew. They couldn't stop it. So what did Satan do? He said, we can't do that anymore. We got to infiltrate. And so when we infiltrate, we become part of it. And that's where the denominations comes in. This is where we hate each other. We just don't love each other. Because the gospel is a powerful gospel. This is what he said, I came to do, is to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he came to do.
That's right.
And yet his body says, we'll just let the enemy in. And that, this is kind of where we find ourselves. It's sad, but it's a powerless gospel. 95% of churches is the powerless. It's a powerless gospel.
Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? Thanks, James. Excuse me, I got a little frog here today. Folks, it's called the Book of Acts. Acts. A whole book. A whole book that chronicles what people did. If Acts don't matter, then why would we have a whole book chronicling what they did?
It never ended, Dave. The book of Acts.
We're still writing.
Still going today. The book of Acts is still going today. It never. Yes. Paul said amen in just about every other book. The book of Acts. He said, go.
That Acts don't matter. And folks, that's what a lie that is. What a lie. Not, look, you don't work your way into heaven, but I think you get a medal. I think you get a medal. Bible says a crown. If you stood up for the Lord. Isn't there such a thing as a martyr's crown? Meaning what? He got rewarded for what he did? He didn't get to heaven for what he did. He got through heaven through faith by grace through faith. But when he got there, he'd earned something. He'd earned something somebody else hadn't earned. He didn't do it to get the crown. He just got the crown because he did it. You understand? That's living out our faith. Living out our faith. That's my boy. He's up there watching you fight. That's my boy. That's my girl. Cheering you on. My grandson, this weekend, little Davey, hit his first ever over-the-fence home run. I got it on film. I could show it to you. First ever. I was proud. Is it okay to be proud? today, man, all those games, everything, but you hit one over the fence. Dude! I bought him a milkshake. I don't love him any more, any less. But I gave him a crown for hitting that first one over the fence. I think the Lord does that too. See, I don't do works because I have to. I do them because I want to. My wife calls it her love language when I do the dishes. Come on, the dishes are done. It's her love language. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do the dishes to stay married. I do the dishes because I love her. Dale.
Oh, Coach, there's so much to say in this. To me, you know, we always say you can learn about Jesus, but you have to experience him. And when you realize, yeah, Coach, what our relationship was birthed because of the battlefield, when you go and you engage in that, what happens, you can't explain it. Coach, we can talk about it all day long. But when you experience that, let me tell you what, it changes you. That it's like your football. You're a football coach. I know you practice your plays, and then you actually run a scrimmage against your own team. That's where most churches are comfortable. They like to run their scrimmage against their own team. But it's all limited contact, right? It's all controlled. Yeah, that's right. But, Coach, if you ever get them underneath on a Friday night and they smack somebody, it'll change them. I think it's the most pertinent implant that happened with my children. It wasn't planned and predestined, but Coach, when we brought them to the abortion clinic, it made something of them. They developed their own faith. They didn't have to rely on mine. They engaged. They got spit on. They got food thrown at them. They got all the abuses and all of the other things. Let me tell you what, Coach, it's that right there is, this is go ye therefore, bring that light out into the world, get it out from underneath the church building. So let your light shine that others might see and come and glorify your Father in heaven. And let me tell you what, when it changes somebody, when you bring that light to a lost person and it changes them, it'll change you again, because you'll be, look, little Davey, he's not going to hit his next home run because of the ice cream, Coach. He's going to hit that next home run because that first one did something to him.
It did. Yep. That's right. That's right. That's right. I said, Dave, I get tired of coming and watching you get a walk. I mean, it's good that you get a walk and you get on first base, but you don't have to do anything to get a walk. You just stand there. And the other guy doesn't throw it across the plate. And you get to walk to first. Hey, Dave, I come to watch you hit home runs. You run, home run.
Boom.
Boom.
Right? Some of us want to get four balls and get on first base and then hope they bunt us to second and maybe we'll get to third and score on a sacrifice fly. I want somebody to hit a home run, man.
Yeah, Coach, I'm out here with my hand up. I'm on my phone this morning. Okay. I can't
see your hand, but I believe you.
Yeah, sometimes you maybe ought to tell the producer to look and see, because I know that there's a lot of people on their phone, Coach, that, you know, can't get internet a lot of times on their computer or whatever.
Good point.
And they've got some good points. But because I think you missed the back when James was really, to me, Coach, James had he had an answer for us. And look, if you read Revelation 5:5, it says that root, that Christ, the Lamb, he has conquered. He has. So, Coach, if we are the kingdom of God on the earth now, and we are, how much do the playbook of the evil side do we need to know, or do we need to know that our king has already conquered? So my point is, Coach, I'm sitting out here listening to the birds singing, the martins are singing and talking, the quail are singing. I'm looking at nature and what God has put here, this earth that he loves and he it's his. And I'm saying, where's the kingdom of God? I'll tell you where it's at, Coach. It's in you and it's in me. But Coach, if we're not doing what James just taught us here, if we're not the book of Acts still happening, the kingdom is off somewhere where the world can't see it. They don't even know.
It cometh not with observation, Randy. It cometh not with observation. That's right.
Coach, they don't even know they're worshiping dumb idols still. The Gentiles, what Paul told them. So what I'm saying is, Coach, they're only winning if they are. I don't believe they are, but they're only in control because the kingdom hasn't shown up there.
Yeah.
They're only in control because you and me haven't went to all the abortion clinics and stopped it totally. You know, and you say this, Coach, all the time, and it's true. If the church would stand up, it would be over. Well, okay, that's right. But there's just so few of us standing up that it's taking longer, okay? But the point is, we are pushing back evil, Coach. Everywhere you go, everywhere I go, everywhere Adele goes, any of us will go take the kingdom of God, Christ the King, in that message. It's winning. It's resonating. But it takes time and it takes generations. And we see that. And that's the connection, Coach. I want to follow that kingdom. I don't need to know about the seven levels of hell. I already know what hell offers. I want to show the hell people what the kingdom looks like.
Amen, Coach. Buddy. I'm with you. Oh, my goodness. It's good. So how do I wrap this up here this morning? Here's the reality of it. It's love language, isn't it? It's love language. Came home last night. I'd done the dishes and Michelle didn't know it. We walk in the house. She looked at me. She didn't even say anything. Why did I do the dishes? Because I like doing the dishes? No, I hate it. She hates it too. I did it for her. Why did I do it? Because I love her. So we see them teaching transgenderism in our schools. We won't do anything about it? Don't we love him? See him teaching homosex in our schools? We don't do anything about it? Don't we love him? See, Acts is the evidence of faith. I'm going to say it again because you missed it. Action is the evidence of faith. And we can say all we want to that we believe in the Lord and we believe that's right and we believe that's wrong. It's just empty chatter. Just empty chatter. Blowhard Christianity. Maybe I ought to write on that. Blowhard Christianity. People who talk about it and don't do it. Don't do it. And we don't do it because many of us are hunkering down because it's about over. Scores, game's about over. We're going to be out of here. I'm coming back to where I started. We live in a time-space continuum. Earth might be flat, it might be round. Who knows? Stars might be up in the sky, they may not. But we're in that continuum. We're in that realm. And folks, there's an invisible realm that we don't see. It's called heaven. Hell. Real places, real realms. And if all we do is make it about this realm, my body and my choice and my family, we're missing the whole thing, man. What a time to be alive. All you got to do is stick your nose out the window. It's all kinds of stuff to do. Why? Because you love him, don't you? See you tomorrow.